न धारति मेंगा मृषो फलक्ष्यते न वाय क्वचिन मे मनसो मृषा गति न मे ऋषिखानि पतन्त्य सद्पथे यन्मे हृदोत्खन्त्यवधारितो हरि. O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal, whatever I say has never proven to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. Although I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities and am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Therefore it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord himself is unable to estimate his own limits? Since neither Lord Shiva nor you nor I could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can see only this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. This evening, we are reading of the discussion between the original father and the original spiritual master of our universe, Lord Brahma, with his beloved son and disciple, Sri Narada Muni. Narada is a perfect disciple because free of all sense of pride or prestige, he is approaching his guru as a fool who knows nothing. This is the qualification to receive knowledge. As long as we think we know something, that false ego prevents us from learning what is truth. You see, false ego is one of the material ingredients. In the Gita, Krishna says, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kamano budur evacha ahankara iti ami bhina praktirashtata. That there are eight material ingredients, the five gross elements are earth and water, fire, air, and ether. And the three subtle material elements are the mind, the intelligence, and ahankar, or false ego. As long as we are under the misconception of being directed or attached to any of these gross or subtle material elements, our path of progress to the truth will be blocked. Therefore, a true spiritual teacher will tell us that if we want to make proper spiritual progress, we have to refrain from allowing our activities to be directed by our gross senses. In our Vaishnava Sampradaya, we make the vow, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, because these gross sense pleasures, which are simply to fulfill the temporary passions of this body, by giving in to those passions, we can make no real spiritual progress. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that trying to make spiritual progress, even if we are performing so much sadhana and engaging in so many religious activities, if we are not giving up the sensual pleasures of this body, it is like trying to row a boat with the anchor still on the bottom of the river. We can row and we can row and we can row. We can chant and chant and chant and do so many pujas and engage in so many other types of charitable activities. But as long as we're not willing to give up the demands of the senses toward materialistic pleasures, we make virtually no real progress. Guru Maharaj used to tell us that it was such a cheating system of religion when people say, you can go on doing anything you like, just take this mantra. You can take the mantra and you can chant the mantra or you can meditate on a particular mantra. But the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Shukadev explains that it is like going in an elephant taking bath in river and becoming clean and then coming out and rolling in the ground. In the Western world, we oftentimes people, they go to their church or temple and they pray, God, forgive us of our sins. But then they continue their sins. It is no way to make real spiritual progress. But there are three subtle elements. Even after giving up these gross pleasures of the body, there is the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. The mind has so many frivolous thoughts that keep appearing and disappearing and coming again and again and again. We all have experience of the nature of the mind. Our mind can make heaven into hell or hell into heaven. As long as we are following the dictations of the mind, we can make no real spiritual progress. And the intelligence that is misdirected by the influences of the mind and the senses will lead us only to degradation. But the subtlemost platform of material existence is the false ego, ahankar. As long as we are following the dictations of our own false ego, we cannot understand the truth. And what is the false ego? The false ego means to think that I know. That I know what is right. That I know who is Krishna. That I am this body. That I am this mind. coming up with so many ideas. Narada Muni is approaching Brahma as one who knows nothing. Just like you remember when you were in school, before each lesson, the teacher would erase everything on the blackboard. And then she would begin the lesson on a blank board. Unless our mind, unless our ego is like that blank board, our spiritual master cannot really write anything on it. Because even if he tries, it's all mixed up with so much other information that you'll be confused. And here, Lord Brahma, who is the guru, he is Adi Kavaye. He is the original spiritual master. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye Muyanti Yat Surayat. At the very dawn of creation, the first being born from Lord Narayan himself upon a lotus flower was Brahma. And he was personally empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the first guru from whom all creatures who want to know the truth must understand. And Brahma is here explaining to Narada that I don't know Krishna. All I know is that I am the great Brahma. At least everyone is saying I'm so great. And I've undergone tremendous austerities, and I am expert in all mystic powers and self-realization. And although I'm recognized as the greatest living being by everyone in the universe, I cannot understand Krishna. All I can do is offer my respectful obeisances unto him and surrender to him. Arivo. This is what the original guru is saying. I don't know. All I know is I should just surrender. Krishna's too great. Even Lord Shiva, myself, and you, who can know Krishna? The absolute truth, the cause of all causes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, don't try to know Krishna. Don't try to see Krishna. But try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. That he wants to know you. That is the true path back home, back to Godhead. So here we find the greatest of all spiritual masters and the greatest of all disciples, Narada Muni and Brahma, having a wonderful discussion wherein they're both saying that neither of us know anything. But we know one thing. Brahma is telling Narada, I know one thing. That this disciplic succession is pure because everyone in it is humbly trying to surrender to Krishna and offer their respectful obeisances to Krishna. And whatever Krishna has revealed to us, we will simply repeat. We will not speculate. We'll just repeat it because it's true, because it's coming from Krishna. And even in the highest point of our realization, all we can ever fathom is a tiny little drop from the ocean of Krishna's unlimited glories and virtues. Of course, there are some philosophers who say that I am God, and that you are God, and that we are all-knowing. But anyone can say anything they like. But what craziness, what madness. You are God. You are all-knowing. They may know a lot more than us, but what does it mean to be all-knowing? Do you know every desire of every living entity, past, present, and future?
That is God.
Lord Brahma explains here in these verses that even Krishna, who is the unlimited, cannot even understand himself. He's so unlimited. This is what Brahma says. Someone may say, if God is all-knowing, how is it that he doesn't know himself? The great acharyas explained, because his glories are always increasing. Certainly he knows his glories, but by the time he knows his glories increase to beyond that. And then when he knows that, his glories increase beyond that. So therefore, to know God means to surrender to God, to love God, and to serve God. To know my constitutional position with God is to never know him, but to love him and to serve him, because he is unlimited, he is Vibhu, and I am infinitesimal Anu. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. I know what position I want, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, because that's the highest position in the eyes of Krishna. The Vedantists and the great scholars, they can present things so proficiently, but Krishna doesn't care for their explanations. Krishna only cares for the humility and the devotion of our heart. If we want to please Krishna, we have to take the position of pleasing those that Krishna loves. It is a simple process. There is a beautiful story that Sri Ramanujacharya, one of the very, very great Mahabhagavat devotees, who established the eternal truths of the Sri Sampradaya, he had such tremendous impact on the whole world through his life and teachings. And what did he teach? That the only way to approach Lord Narayan is to become a humble servant of his servants. And I'd like to cite one example in his life. Once he took many of his disciples on a yatra from Srirangam, where he was living. They were en route to Tirupati. As they were walking, many of his disciples, they came to one village. And in the village, Ramanujacharya had two disciples. One was named Yagyesh, and the other was Varadacharya. Yagyesh was a very rich merchant, businessman, and Varadacharya was a very poor man. Actually, he was in poverty. He would have to go out every day early in the morning to beg, and he would come back at noon with just enough food to feed him and his wife, whose name was Lakshmi Devi. So Ramanujacharya sent two of his disciples to the beautiful home of Yagyesh and told him that to tell him that his Gurudev, Ramanuja, and many of his disciples are coming to spend the night at your house. So when they came to Yagyesh's house and they gave him this news, he became so happy, so honored. He considered himself so fortunate that my Gurudev, Ramanujacharya, he's going to come and spend the night in my house. my beautiful house will now have the blessings of Gurudev. So he immediately started calling for all his servants and making wonderful, wonderful arrangements. And he himself was running here and there and everywhere, making nice accommodations. So the two servants returned to Ramanuja and said, "Yes, Yagesh is making so many nice arrangements for you. Everyone in the household, all the servants, they're working very hard, waiting for you." And Ramanuja asked, "How did they receive the two of you?" He was so busy making arrangements for you, that he forgot about us, didn't even give us a glass of water. Ramanuja said, "Then we will go to the house of Varada Acharya." And they came to the house. When they arrived, it was the morning, and Varada Acharya was out begging for a little rice. So many hours it would take him to come home with little rice. And his wife, Lakshmi Devi, was at home. And Ramanuja came with all of his disciples and said, "We have come to spend the day and the night with you." She said, "Please, have a seat. I will prepare some prasad for you." She knew her husband. What could he come back? So she went into her kitchen. There was not even one grain of rice in the whole kitchen. She was thinking, if we don't please Gurudev, what is the purpose of our life? I forgot to say that he sent people to Varadra Acharya's house first, and they were greeted so nicely. That is why Ramanuja decided to go there. So Lakshmi was thinking, there's a very sinful, terrible man, very wealthy man, big merchant, and he's very lusty for me. And he thinks because I am the wife of a poor man, he can seduce me to be enjoyed by him by promising me so much gold and so much money and so much riches. I have always refused him because I am chaste and faithful to my husband. She went to that rich man and she said that my husband's Gurudev and my Gurudev has come to my house with all of his, with many of his disciples, and I have no food to feed them. Please make arrangements. Send some bhoga, some food for me to prepare and offer to Lord Narayan and give to him. And if you do this for me, I'll do anything for you." So the man was thinking, "Aha, Haribo." He didn't say Haribo. We're saying Haribo. He was saying something else. Anyways, he was very much happy. So he arranged nice, wonderful, opulent preparations to be sent to the house. And she began to prepare it in the kitchen, and then she offered it to the Lord, and then she offered it to Ramanuja, a wonderful, wonderful feast of prasad. And Ramanuja was so happy, and all of his disciples, they were thinking, this man is such a poor house. How is it that they are feeding us so sumptuously with elegant prasad of Lord Narayan? And after they finished taking the prasad, Varada Acharya, the husband, returned home. And he saw what type of Mahaprasad remnants there were. He said to his wife, after offering obeisances to his guru, and surrendering his life and everything he had, he said, "How is it, my dear wife, how you prepared this? I've been out begging all day for some rice, and you've made this grand feast." She became very ashamed. Her head was low. And she said, "My dear husband, I was in a desperate situation. That terrible, terrible man who's always trying to pollute me, I promised him I'll do anything if he gives me money, or not money, if he gives me the food to cook a feast for my guru." When he heard this, he began to dance in joy, thinking, "My wife, I am so fortunate to have someone like you willing to give up anything to help me in my service to my Gurudev. I am so proud of you." And then they both went and they told Ramanujacharya, because he asked, "How?" They both said, "This is how we got this nice food." Ramanujacharya said, "First you take my remnants, my Mahaprasad. And then what you must do is both together go and bring this rascal of a man, bring him my Mahaprasad and have him eat it." So after taking his prasad, they went to the house of this rich man and they said, "This is the Mahaprasad of our guru, please accept it." And he ate it. And just by eating the Mahaprasad and understanding the virtue of this woman, how she was willing to do so much just to protect the relationship between her husband and her guru and to serve her guru, he became so overwhelmed that his heart melted. And he actually bowed down to them and said, "Please, let me meet the spiritual master who has disciples like you. Never have I seen such dedication and such love. My heart has changed." So they brought him to the lotus feet of Ramanuja, and he surrendered to Ramanuja and begged him for initiation. Rio! If you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will protect you. Meanwhile, Yagesh, that nice devotee who neglected Ramanuja's servants, he was waiting all day. Ramanuja never came. He had all the arrangements, elegant arrangements. And then he found out that he's staying at this other man's house. So he came. He was tears in his eyes. His heart was broken. "My dear Gurudev, why you didn't come? What offense did I make?" Ramanuja replied that, "You neglected my servants. You cannot please me if you neglect my servants. You could make the most elegant, wonderful arrangements for me, but if in any way you disrespect my servants, then I cannot accept anything you give me." He said, "It is not that I disrespected them. It's that I was so anxious to serve you that I just forgot about them." "But if I forget your servants, how can I remember you properly?" That was the lesson that he learned. If you forget the servants of the Lord, how can you remember the Lord? And in this particular case, it's even more direct. If you forget to properly serve and care for the disciples of your guru, your god brothers and god sisters, then how can you properly remember your spiritual master? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood, if you're not pleasing the devotees, you cannot please the guru. If you don't please the guru and the devotees, you cannot please Krishna. You cannot even think of Krishna in a proper frame of mind. Therefore, Mahaprabhu aspired only for this position of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Because then, when I approach His holy name, which is utterly non-different from Him, then Krishna will reciprocate with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. This is the power of the holy name. But to receive the power of the holy name, we must become humble. We must be in the mood of a servant of a servant. To receive the true blessings of our spiritual master, we must please those who are dear to him. This is the essence of all philosophy. And to chant the holy name so purely, no matter what our condition of life is, we can become purified. Whatever offenses we've made, Lord Chaitanya, one time during his Navadvip Leela, he and some of his associates, Nityanand Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, Akreshwar Pandit, they were wandering through various parts of Navadvip Dham, having wonderful kirtan, with their arms raised, their legs dancing. They were chanting,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And they came to one pond of water. And they met a cowherd boy. His name was Ramdas. And he said that, my dear Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I am in distress because my service is to take care of these cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmane Hitaya Cha Jagar Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. The scriptures explain that one who pleases the Brahmins and the cows becomes very dear to Krishna. Why? For the same reason. Das Das Anu Das. Because the cows are such loving servants of the Lord, providing nice milk and ghee for humanity so that they can make spiritual progress. And the Brahmins, the pure Brahmins who are devotees of the Lord, they are also dedicating their entire lives to serving the Lord by giving spiritual knowledge, by giving spiritual inspiration by their exemplary behavior on this earth. And one who shows compassion to the fallen souls of this world is the dearest servant of the Lord. And it is the Brahmins and the cows that give so much compassion to the fallen souls by giving us the chance to become Krishna conscious. So for this reason, the Lord is very much affectionate to the cows and to the devotees. And by pleasing them, our life is perfect. And by displeasing them, we have no entrance into approaching the service of the Lord. So this Ramdas was dedicated to making the cows happy. In fact, our Gurudev, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he used to say that the barometer to understand the spirituality of any society is how happy the cows are. Simple. Just like if you want to know the weather, you look at the thermometer or the barometer. If you want to understand how high or low the spirituality of any culture is, you just see the condition of the cows. If the cows are protected and happy, that means that this place is spiritually very strong, very enlightened. And if the cows are unprotected and in distress, that means that spiritually this place is very weak. Guru Maharaj used to say that we want in our farm communities that the cows are so jubilant that their tails are raised and they dance when you call them by their names. Arivo! So Ramdas was in distress. He said, "My Lord, my cows are very unhappy." "Why? Why they are unhappy?" "Because this pond of water, they are thirsty. This is the source of drinking water for my cows. But there is a terrible, dangerous crocodile living in the water. And whenever our cow sees this crocodile, they become so afraid to go anywhere near the pond to drink the water." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing this, he looked at the pond and very loudly he began to chant the holy names.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
What he was doing is by calling the holy name, he was calling this crocodile out of the pond. Similarly, our mind is like a pond. When it's crystal clear, through the clear mind, we can perceive Krishna. Bhagavad Gita says, when the mind is clear, pure, and controlled, you can perceive the Paramatma, Krishna, within your heart. But when the mind has terrible crocodiles, your mind becomes a very fearful, terrible place. So we chant the holy name to remove this crocodile from the pond of our mind. Lord Chaitanya gave the example by chanting very loudly the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Kardama Muni is looking at me like, these people, why? They're so tired and lazy. They should chant loudly. Kardama, you stand up and you induce them to chant very loudly. Let us call the crocodiles out of our minds.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram,
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
The Lord chanted so beautiful, so melodious, so sweet that it attracted the crocodile out of the pond. And this crocodile came out of the water and approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and placed his head atop the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Gauranga! 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 And as soon as the dust particles of the feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu touched that crocodile's head, immediately he became a beautiful celestial infant boy. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. And he began to speak. This little baby boy began to speak. He said, "You are so merciful. You have liberated me from this terrible form of a crocodile." He said, "A long time ago, I was actually a celestial being from the higher realms, not of this earthly plane. But the great sage Durvas Muni, he was residing at that time at Kamyavan, and he was sleeping. And as a mischievous child, while he was sleeping, I cut some of his matted hairs. And Durvas Muni, he woke up, seeing that I cut some of his hairs. He became so angry that he cursed me to become a terrible, gruesome, fearful crocodile. For 4 yugas. Rivo. So I began to cry. I don't want to be a crocodile. Please, I'm sorry, I beg forgiveness. Please, you're a great saint, forgive me. What can I do? How can I atone for this offense? And because I begged forgiveness and admitted my mistake so sincerely, Durvas became kind upon me. And he said, "All right, you will remain in the body of a terrible crocodile up until the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's none other than Krishna himself, who will appear in this age of Kali Yuga to deliver the most fallen souls, when he sings the holy name and you hear that singing and take shelter of his lotus feet, you will not only attain this original form of yours as a baby, celestial being, but you will be given pure love of God." And then the little boy began to pray to Lord that I have been in this crocodile body for so long and everyone's been so afraid of me. But you are so kind. Although I'm so sinful and I'm so offensive, you have given me your mercy. You've given me your love. You, my Lord, are the Patita Pavana of all living beings. You have come in this age of Kali Yuga to give everyone the chance of achieving this love. Even the most sinful crocodiles like me, be giving us the chance to chant the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In fact, my Lord, you are going everywhere, simply distributing love of God by advocating that everyone raise their arms and loudly chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Now that you have given me the perfection of life by your causeless mercy, please, I surrender my life to you. With your permission, let me return to my parents, because they've been waiting for me for 4 yugas. They will be happy to see me again as a pure devotee, chanting the holy names. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him blessings and he returned in his form to his celestial abode. So this is the power of receiving the holy name of the Lord. In this mood, of humility. Actually, this particular soul had to be in the abominable form of a crocodile before he became so humble. But why should we have to go through all of that? Why don't we just become humble servants of the Lord's devotees now? And with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we can achieve the highest perfection of life. To realize we are not this temporary body which is subjected to all miseries. You can make so many arrangements, but in this world you must suffer as long as you are not Krishna conscious. Here in India, people are so mad after material enjoyment. And so many people, they want to leave India. They want to go to the West because there the comforts, the luxuries, the pleasures of life are so easily attained. Huh? And it is a fact, they are. But that's not all that you find there. So many physical comforts and luxuries, but it is still the same world of birth, old age, disease, and death. In America, which is the farthest west country in the world, actually Srila Prabhupada used to say, the farther west you go, the more people are immersed in sense gratification, and the better the sense gratification becomes. So in America, the westernmost part is California. And you know how people are mad to go to California? It's the wealthiest state in America. The most money, the most nice weather, movie stars, big beautiful homes, scenic beauty, wonderful mountains, the Pacific Ocean, beautiful beaches. California. People dream to go to California. Anyways, all these people who fulfill their dreams living in sunny California. Yesterday there was an earthquake. Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Hollywood, all the electricity's out. But evil. And the plumbing is all messed up and all stool and urine's coming out of people's toilets. And the telephones are not working, so they can't talk all nonsense to their friends. And even people are dying. And the bridges are breaking down and there's traffic jams. And trains are being derailed. And this is just one earthquake in a series of many that have been going on for a couple of weeks. And what's to come? We do not know. But people are afraid, and they're suffering, and they're miserable. This is material life. You can make every possible arrangement. You could think, here, Bombay, so many rats, and so many poor people, and beggars knocking on your windows. I'm going to move to California, and I'm going to be happy. But what will you find there? People knock on your windows there, but they have guns in their hands, not towels. Huh? And there may not be so many rats, but there's drug addicts ready to kill you in a second to get your money. Ready to somehow or other convince your children to become a drug addict so they can take all their money. Huh? Sunny California. Recently in Laguna Beach, one of the most posh, high-income areas of Southern California, there was a forest fire. Malibu Beach, too. I just got a letter from one of my dear friends in Malibu Beach. He said, one third of all the homes in Malibu Beach were burned to ashes. Hello! These are all movie stars and big musicians and famous people. What can they do? They can just, if they were devotees, they would say, Hari Bol. If they're not devotees, all they can do is cry and weep. Why is this happening to us? We do not rejoice when people suffer. Devotees' hearts weep when they see people suffering. We're not celebrating that people are suffering. We're simply acknowledging the fact that there's no happiness in this material world, no matter where you go and no matter what you do. There's only one purpose to life: to realize our spiritual identity and act according to that spiritual identity by being the servant of the servant of the Lord and chanting His holy name with great attention and great feeling. Regularly, every day in our own homes, we should be chanting God's name attentively. We should be reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, Bhagavad Gita, with the commentaries of great acharyas. We should be regularly associating with devotees. This is the real wealth. This is the real treasure in this world. Everything else is an illusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there are only two things of any value in this world: the Vaishnavas and the holy name. Everything else is only meant for suffering. So we are so fortunate that we have this chance to seek pleasure where real pleasure is, to seek relief where liberation is being provided, and to seek a meaning to life where there is true meaning in the association of devotees, in the service of the devotees, and with humility and sincerity to chant Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
हरे कृष्ण. तो आज जो महाराज ने प्रवचन बताया श्रीमद् भागवत के द्वितीय स्कंद से है. और ब्रह्मा जी नारद मुनि से कहते हैं कि क्योंकि मैंने भगवान श्री हरि के चरण कमल का आश्रय लिया है, मैं कभी भी मिथ्या सिद्ध नहीं हो सकता और मैं इस भौतिक तत्व से आसक्ति नहीं रखता. हालांकि मैं ब्रह्मा के रूप में जाने जाता हूँ और लोग मेरा आदर करते हैं, लेकिन फिर भी मैं भगवान को नहीं समझ सकता. इसीलिए मेरे लिए यही श्रेष्ठ है कि मैं उनके चरण कमलों का आश्रय लूं. वही हमें जन्म मृत्यु से परे ले जा सकते हैं. स्वयं भगवान भी अपनी सीमाओं को नहीं जान पा सकते हैं. तो यहाँ प्रवचन में महाराज ने बताया कि नारद मुनि एक सच्चे शिष्य हैं जो कि मिथ्या अभिमान से मुक्त हैं. वो अपने गुरु के सामने एक मूर्ख के रूप में जा रहे हैं और यही योग्यता है आध्यात्मिक ज्ञान प्राप्त करने के लिए. अगर आज तक आप समझते हैं कि आपको मालूम है, तब तक आपको ये ज्ञान प्राप्त नहीं हो सकता. ये जो भौतिक प्रकृति के 8 तत्व हैं, उनमें से मिथ्या अहंकार ये सबसे सूक्ष्म तत्व है. और हम जब तक इस मिथ्या अहंकार में लगे रहेंगे, तब तक हमें आध्यात्मिक ज्ञान नहीं मिल सकता. हम इंद्रियों के वश में रहेंगे, तब तक हम भक्ति में प्रगति नहीं कर सकते. जब तक हम मन के वश में रहेंगे, तब तक भी हम प्रगति नहीं कर सकते. और जब तक हम बुद्धि के वश में रहेंगे, और जो बुद्धि गलत राह पे जा रही है, तो हमारा पतन हो जाता है. तो मिथ्या अहंकार का अर्थ होता है कि ये सोचना कि मेरे को मालूम है सब कुछ, मैं शरीर हूँ. तो नारद मुनि जो है ब्रह्मा जी के पास इस भावना से जाते हैं कि मुझे कुछ नहीं मालूम है. जैसे स्कूल में टीचर होता है, वो जो लिखता है तो वो पूरा बोर्ड जब साफ होता है तभी वो कुछ लिख सकता है. उसी तरह से जब हमारा मन जो है वो बिल्कुल साफ होता है तब गुरु महाराज जो है उस पर कुछ ज्ञान दे सकते हैं। यहाँ पर ब्रह्मा जी जो है वो जो कि आदि गुरु हैं, जो प्रथम जीव है जिसको भगवान कृष्ण ने स्वयं ज्ञान दिया, वो बतला रहे हैं कि मैं कृष्ण को नहीं जानता, मैं सिर्फ ये जानता हूँ कि हालांकि लोग मेरे को महान मानते हैं लेकिन मैं कृष्ण को नहीं जानता, मैं सिर्फ उनको प्रणाम कर सकता हूँ और उनको समर्पण कर सकता हूँ। कृष्ण इतने महान है कि ब्रह्मा जी और शिव जी भी उनको नहीं जान सकते, इसीलिए भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर कहते हैं कि कृष्ण को देखने का प्रयास मत करो लेकिन कृष्ण की सेवा ऐसे करो कि कृष्ण आपको देखना चाह रहे हैं। यहाँ पर सबसे बड़े गुरु और शिष्य आपस में बातचीत कर रहे हैं लेकिन वो ये कह रहे हैं कि मुझे कुछ नहीं मालूम है, सिर्फ हम वही दोहरा सकते हैं जो श्री कृष्ण ने बताया है। कुछ लोग कहते हैं मैं भगवान हूँ, तुम भगवान हो, हम सब कुछ जानते हैं, लेकिन ये तो पागलपना है, क्या हम सबके मन की बात जानते हैं? तो ब्रह्मा जी यहाँ बता रहे हैं कि कृष्ण भी खुद को नहीं जान सकते। कोई कहेगा कि ऐसा कैसे है कि कृष्ण खुद को नहीं जानते, तो इसका उत्तर यह है कि कृष्ण अपने आप को जानते हैं लेकिन उनके यश बढ़ता जा रहा है, इसलिए जब वो जानते हैं उसके बाद वो और बढ़ जाता है और जब तक वो जानते हैं तब तक वो और बढ़ जाता है। भगवान विभू हैं, हम अणु हैं, इसीलिए श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु यही प्रार्थना करते हैं कि गोपी भर्त पद कमल और दास दास अनुदास, मैं आपके दासों का दास बनना चाहता हूँ। यही कृष्ण की आंखों में सबसे बड़ी चीज है और हमें यही अभिलाषा करनी चाहिए कि कृष्ण के भक्तों को प्रसन्न करने का प्रयास करें। इस संबंध में रामानुजाचार्य के जीवन से कथा है कि रामानुजाचार्य के दो शिष्य थे, यज्ञेश और वरदाचार्य। तो रामानुजाचार्य जो है अपने शिष्यों को पहले यज्ञेश के घर में भेजते हैं कि हम आने वाले हैं इसलिए आप इंतजाम कर देना रहने का। तो यज्ञेश इतना प्रसन्न होते हैं, इतना खुशी में नाचने लगते हैं कि वो सेवकों का ध्यान रखना भूल जाते हैं। लौटने पर जो रामानुजाचार्य उनसे पूछते हैं कि उन्होंने तुम्हारा कैसा सत्कार किया, तो वो नौकर बताते हैं कि वो इतने व्यस्त हो गए कि उन्होंने हमको बिल्कुल भूल गए। तो रामानुजाचार्य ने फिर बाद में अपने सेवकों को वो दूसरे शिष्य के यहाँ भेजा और वहां पर उनका अच्छा सत्कार हुआ। तो इसलिए रामानुजाचार्य निश्चय किया कि हम वरदाचार्य के पास जाएंगे, हालांकि वो बिल्कुल गरीब परिवार से हैं। जिस समय वो वहां पर जाते हैं तो उस समय वरदाचार्य भिक्षा मांगने गए होते हैं, उनकी पत्नी लक्ष्मी जो उनका स्वागत करती है और वो जानती है कि घर में कुछ नहीं मिलता, तो वो गुरु महाराज से कहते हैं कि आप यहीं पर इंतजार करिए, मैं आपके लिए अच्छा भोजन बनाती हूँ। और वो एक ऐसे व्यापारी के पास जाती है जो उसके प्रति आकर्षित होता है और उसका भोग करना चाहता है, तो उसके पास जाकर उसको बतलाती है कि मुझे इस तरह से अन्न की जरूरत है, अगर आप मुझे अन्न देंगे तो आपकी सारी इच्छाओं को मैं पूर्ण कर दूंगी। तो वो बड़ा प्रसन्न हो जाता है और सब कुछ दे देता है और वो बहुत सुंदर जो है भोजन बनाती है रामानुजाचार्य और उनके शिष्यों के लिए। बाद में उसके पति जब लौट कर आते हैं तो वो पूछते हैं कि ये सब कहाँ से आया, तब उसकी पत्नी जब समझाती है तब उसके पति बहुत प्रसन्न होकर आनंदित होने लगते हैं और तत्पश्चात दोनों रामानुजाचार्य के पास जाकर ये बात को समझाते हैं। तो रामानुजाचार्य कहते हैं कि आप उस व्यक्ति को मेरे पास ले आओ, उसको पहले मेरा महाप्रसाद दो। तो जब वो उसके पास जाते हैं तब वो व्यक्ति भी महाप्रसाद के प्रभाव से और इनकी समर्पण भावना देखकर उसका भी हृदय जो है बदल जाता है और वो रामानुजाचार्य के चरणों में शरण में आ जाता है। और दूसरी ओर यज्ञेश पूरे दिन इंतजार करने के बाद रामानुजाचार्य के पास लौट कर आता है कि आप यहाँ पर आए क्यों नहीं, तब वो बताते हैं कि तुमने मेरे सेवकों की अवहेलना की इसीलिए मैं तुम्हारे भेंट को स्वीकार नहीं कर पाता है। अगर हम अपने गुरु भाइयों को भूल जाते हैं तो हम गुरु को कैसे प्रसन्न कर सकते हैं, इसीलिए श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने हमें सिखाया है कि हमें दासों के दास बनने का प्रयास करना चाहिए। यही जो है इसी से भगवान अपने नाम के रूप में प्रकट होते हैं। श्री चैतन्य लीला से एक कथा है कि श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु एक सरोवर के पास जाते हैं, वहां पर रामदास नाम का एक ग्वाला होता है और वो भगवान से कहता है कि मैं बहुत दुखी हूँ, मुझे गायों का ख्याल रखना है, लेकिन ये सरोवर में जहाँ पर गाय पानी पीने आते हैं यहाँ पर एक मगरमच्छ रहता है। और चैतन्य महाप्रभु जो है उस मगरमच्छ की ओर देखकर जोर से हरे कृष्ण मंत्र का कीर्तन करने लगते हैं, तो वो मगरमच्छ जो है वो बाहर आ जाता है। हमारा मन भी एक सरोवर की तरह है, जब इसमें दूसरे विचार होते हैं वो मगरमच्छ की तरह से है लेकिन भगवान का नाम लेने से वो निकल जाते हैं। तो वो मगरमच्छ बाहर आकर अपने सर को भगवान श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु के चरण कमलों में रख देता है, तुरंत वो एक जो है देव पुरुष बन जाता है और भगवान से बताने लगता है कि आपने मेरे को मुक्त कर दिया, पहले मैं एक बालक था और दुर्वासा मुनि के बालों को मैंने काट लिया था, तो इसीलिए वो बहुत क्रोधित हो गए थे, उन्होंने मुझे मगरमच्छ बनने का शाप दे दिया था चार युगों के लिए। जब मैं रोने लग गया तब उन्होंने बताया कि जब श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु प्रकट होंगे तो उनके चरणों का आश्रय लेने से तुम्हारा ये शरीर भी पुनर्जीवित हो जाएगा और तुम्हें भगवत प्रेम की प्राप्ति हो जाएगी। और वो भगवान से प्रार्थना करने लगता है कि मैं बहुत पापी हूँ लेकिन आप सबको हरि नाम देने के लिए उद्धार करने के लिए आए हैं।
लोग जो है भौतिक आनंद लेना चाहते हैं और इसीलिए कई लोग भारत छोड़कर विदेश में जाते हैं, लेकिन हम देखते हैं कि कैलिफोर्निया जो कि दुनिया का सबसे अमीर देश माना जाता है, कल वहीं पर भूकंप आया, कई लोग जो है इतने जो व्यस्त थे बिल्कुल इलेक्ट्रिसिटी चली गई, उसके बाद टेलीफोन लाइन कट हो गए और इस तरह से जो है बहुत जो है लोगों को दुख हुआ है और कई जगह पर अग्नि जल गई है, जहां पर कई घरों में आग लग गई है। तो कहने का मतलब ये नहीं कि हम इससे खुश हैं, लेकिन हम जो है ये समझ रहे हैं कि भौतिक दुनिया में कभी सुख नहीं मिल सकता, इसलिए ये जीवन का एक ही उद्देश्य है कि अपने सही स्वरूप को पहचानना। और वो तब हो सकता है कि जब हम भक्तों के संग में भगवान का नाम कीर्तन करते हैं और श्रीमद् भगवद गीता और भागवतम का श्रवण करते हैं, यही जो है जीवन की सच्ची संपत्ति है। और चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने बताया है कि दुनिया में दो चीजें कीमती हैं, एक है पवित्र नाम और दूसरा है वैष्णवों का संग। तो हमें यह सौभाग्य है कि भक्तों का संग मिले और इस संग में हमें नम्रता से भगवान का नाम कीर्तन करना चाहिए। हरे कृष्ण।
हरि बोल। श्री कर्दामा जी विल नाउ टीच अस हाउ टू चेस द क्रोकोडाइल्स अवे फ्रॉम आवर माइंड्स।
सरेंडर।
टुडे इज द बर्थडे ऑफ अभय चरारव इन He has organized this wonderful program this evening. In the material world, when it's somebody's birthday, they expect a party for themselves. But a devotee, when it's his birthday, he wants to celebrate by glorifying Krishna. Because it is by Krishna's grace that our human birth has any real value. Human form of life is meant for self-realization. And it is by the grace of the Vaishnavas that we have the opportunity in this human form of life to realize Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna, which is the purpose of this human life. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare Dulaba manava janama satsange taraha evavo sindure. That this human form is so rare, but what is the greatest gift in this human form? The association of devotees. Because by that association we can perfect our life and attain pure Krishna consciousness. So on our birthday we should celebrate this precious opportunity to perfect our human life by serving and glorifying the devotees. So Abhay Charanaravinda Prabhu, on his birthday, he has celebrated it by inviting us all to come together to hear about Krishna, to remember Krishna, and to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And certainly his human birth is a great example for all of us. He's chanting 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna mantra, following the four regulative principles. And his whole family are wonderful devotees. His good wife, Purnamasi, is also so wonderfully serving Krishna and the devotees. Vishaka, Lalita, and Sachinandan, all of his three children are sincere, dedicated devotees of the Lord. This is the perfection of our family life, when all members only aim is serving Krishna, remembering Krishna, and chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Sometimes family members get along, sometimes they don't. That is not so important. The important thing is that we are all on the road back home, back to Godhead. Hariva! So I'd like to request all the devotees to bestow their loving blessings upon Abhay Charanaravinda.
Hariva!
business. One saffron candle. Looks like a saffron dunda. Radhe Radhe. Hari Bol. Krishna made it go out.